Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe.
So we've been in this sermon series, The Love That Heals. And last week, Pastor Joshua continued with the fourth part, Guard Your Heart. And one of the things that Pastor Joshua taught us last week is that God calls us to love on levels. So God calls us to love Him. So love God, love your neighbor, love the world, and love your brothers and sisters in Christ. However, as I read the scripture that Pastor Joshua gave us last week, which was Mark 12, verses 30 and 31, Holy Spirit showed me that there is another level that He has called us to love on. And that scripture says, "And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. The second is equally as important. Love your neighbor as yourself." I'll say that again. Love your neighbor as yourself. So to love our neighbor, we have to love ourselves. And in order to love ourselves, we have to know the love of God in its fullness and completeness. So God wants us to love ourselves. And so as I began to study this, Holy Spirit pointed it out, I see this command to love your neighbor as yourself repeated in Scripture. It is recorded 9 times in Scripture in both the Old and the New Testaments. And I'm going to read all 9 verses for you this morning, so you don't have to go back home and read it. No, you're going to go back home and read it. The law first mentioned, where is this law mentioned first time? It's in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. And Leviticus 19, verse 18 says, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against a fellow Israelite, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Then a little bit further in that same chapter in verses 33 and 34, it says, "Do not take advantage of foreigners who live among you in your land. Treat them like native-born Israelites and love them as you love yourself. Remember that you were once foreigners living in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." Then in the New Testament, in Matthew 19, verse 19, it says, "Honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself." Matthew 23, 37 to 39, Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." The next one is Mark 12, 29 to 31, which I already read earlier. So I'm going to go to the next one. Luke 10, 26 to 27. Jesus replied, "What does the law say? How do you read it?" And the man he was speaking to said, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Galatians 4, 14. "For the whole law can be summed up with this one command, love your neighbor as yourself." James 2, 8. "Yes, indeed, it is good when you obey the royal law as found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself." So we can assume that when something is repeated, when God is repeating something over and over and over again in Scripture, in the Old Testament and New Testament, that is something that's important that He wants us to do. And it's not just a suggestion, it is command. He says, "I am the Lord. Do what I say." Basically, do what I say. Love your neighbor as yourself. In the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, the word for as is chemo, K-E-M-O. And so in the 2 verses in Leviticus that I mentioned, this word chemo is being used as a conjunction, the part of speech that is being used for used as is a conjunction. And when this word is used as a conjunction in the Hebrew, it means as it were. So the scriptures are saying, love your neighbor as it were yourself, right? And so in the New Testament, in the Greek, the word for as is hos, H-O-S, and it means like or even as. So love your neighbor even as you love yourself. So although it is not explicitly said in scripture, love yourself, it is implied that God wants us to love ourselves, but not in a prideful way. It's not something that's negative. He doesn't want us to love ourselves in a prideful way or a selfish way, but he wants us to love ourselves as he loves us. So as he reveals his love to us, then we love ourselves with that same capacity. But we can only love our neighbor as ourselves if we love ourselves, right? And we can only love ourselves when we love God and let him love us, right? However, I find that in our culture and in our society of comparison, it sometimes makes it difficult for us to love ourselves. When we scroll on Instagram or TikTok, I don't know if that's a thing still, but, or we look at our family and friends on Facebook, and we're like, oh, I wish I was as thin as her, or I wish I was as successful as them. I wish I could go on vacations all the time like them. They always on vacation. I wish that I could do that. And when we start to do that, we start to view ourselves through the lens of their fictionalized lives, because it's a lie, because we're not telling the whole story. We're going to put our best foot forward on social media. And we begin to view ourselves through the lens of what we're comparing ourselves to, then we diminish our own value and our own worth. So instead of viewing ourselves as God's creation, made in his image and in his likeness, instead of looking or pressing towards the mark, Paul wrote in Philippians 3:14, we press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. That mark that we're pressing towards is Jesus. That mark that we're pressing towards is the word of God. That the thing that we're supposed to be replicating or duplicating in our own lives, that we're supposed to be looking into scripture, scrolling through scripture and say, ooh, I want to be like that. Ooh, I want to do this. It's Jesus Christ and the word of God. God didn't create us to be like anybody else. He created us like him. Not what we see in print media, not what we see on social media, not even our favorite preacher. He created us to be like him. Our mark is Jesus and the word of God. We're aiming to replicate Jesus and the word of God. When God created us, well, when God created the world, Genesis, first book of the Bible. So he created the heavens and the earth, and he said, it's good. He created the sun and the stars and the moon and all of that, and he said, it's good. He created vegetation and trees. He said, it's good. He created animals. He said, it's good. He created man, formed and shaped him in his image and in his likeness, breathed into us his very breath, and he said, it's very good. So that's what God says about you. When he looks at you, when he sees you, he says, Pastor Pete is very good. He says, Fernando is very good. He says, Stephanie is very good. And we are fearfully and wonderfully made in his image and in his likeness. That we're not what society has said to us. We're not what a parent has said to us or a teacher has said to us, a boyfriend, a girlfriend has said to us, that it's diminished our value, that's made us look at ourselves through a skewed lens. We are who God said we are. All of those things are lies. They are misrepresentations that has shaped and molded our thought processes about ourselves, causing us to not really like ourselves sometimes because we're not measuring up and we're just kind of tolerating ourselves. But We are worthy. Why? Because God says so. You are lovable. You are special. That we're not made by like anyone else because God already made us to be like him. He didn't make us to be clones of people. That he made each of you so unique that none of us have the same DNA. None of us have the same set of fingerprints or footprints. He knows the number of hairs on your head. And for those that have a lot of hair, that's a lot of number to know. He knows you so intricately because he valued you when he created you. So I would present to you that we don't fully love ourselves because we don't even know who we truly are as God created us to be, right? In his image, in his likeness. And so to truly love ourselves, we have to truly know ourselves. And to know our true selves, we have to know God and his love. Another reason that we might not be able to fully love ourselves and embrace ourselves is because of something that Pastor Joshua touched on last week. He talked about, it was guard your heart, and Pastor Joshua talked about guarding your heart without walling it off, right? So I've been guilty of this before in my lifetime. Not recent lifetime. Distant, long ago lifetime. So because of a hurt or a disappointment or a rejection, we put a wall around our hearts to protect it. We barricade it, right? We fortify it. We shut it off because we don't want anybody getting. We don't want to experience what we experienced before, right? So it's a defense mechanism to protect our hearts. But when you wall something off, you barricade it, you fortify it, you're doing that to keep stuff out, right? Even the things that need to get in, like God's love. So we can't fully receive the full expression of God's love because we've closed off our hearts from receiving God's love, right? And any love outside of God, I'm sorry to tell you, it's not love. God is love. God is the definition and the source of love. So if I don't have the source of love, then I can't give. I have nothing to give you. What I'm giving you is out of my human effort without God. Like, God makes it easy to love. Like, I can say that I love everybody. Apostle says, I love everybody. And I used to be like, yeah, right, okay. But God makes it easy to love. When you love people with his love, he makes it easy. I'll be like, I don't like God. I don't like him. I don't like him. But I got to love him because something's missing there. They need your love poured into them. So you put me in their lives. I was sharing with Pastor Joshua and Pastor Craig. You must have put me in their lives to bring change. And I'm going to change them, and they're not going to change me, and I'm not going to go off. I'm not going to pray for them to disappear. I'm going to love them. But the true expression of love is God. In 1 Corinthians 13, God says, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not self-seeking. It is not envious. It's not easily provoked. It does not seek its own. It rejoices, doesn't rejoice in iniquity. It rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. And when I look at that of my own accord, I'm like, I can't do all of that. A love that bears all things. A love that never fails. Like, we can't do that without the love of God on the inside of us. We can only love ourselves when we know the one who is love and receive the full expression of his love. For those that don't know, I am an author.
Yes, you are.
Thank you, Apostle. I love him sitting in the front. He's He is so encouraging. I'm just going to talk to him. So I write books. I write Christian fiction, romance in particular. I always get asked the question, what's Christian romance? Is Christians can't have a romance? What are y'all talking about? So I write Christian romance. And so in the story, there's always conflict, right? Because if boy meets girl and they get married and live happily ever after, that's not an exciting story. So we have to put some conflict into the story. And so the hero and heroine will face two types of conflict. They will face an external conflict, so something on the outside is preventing them from getting together. It could be an ex, it could be distance, any number of things that is this external conflict that is preventing them from getting together. And then there's also an internal conflict. And so the internal conflict could be they were rejected in the past, and so they're a little bit reluctant. Or the internal conflict could be like, well, she kind of reminds me of my mom, and my mom wasn't the best mom. That's an internal conflict that the character is having that's preventing this relationship from progressing and makes this story exciting. So sometimes I'll have a character say to the character that's resisting, you won't let me love you. And that's what God sometimes says to us. You won't let me love you. I feel like singing that Mario song from 2000. You should. I will not. I will not sing, but he said in the song, you should let me love you. Let me be the one to show you everything you want, give you everything you want and need. And that's what God's saying. You let me love you. Let me give you everything, all of me. So how do, y'all can't be, you know what, we're going to separate. We're going to separate this. We're going to separate. They can't sit together in class. So how do you love yourself? So the first is two things. The first one is get on the same page with God about what he says about who you are and who he created you to be, right? And you will find out that you are pretty awesome because God only makes good stuff. He only makes, matter of fact, he said, it's very good, right? And you'll find out what God says about you by spending time in his word, studying scripture, hiding it in your heart, and then rehearsing it. Proverbs 3:23-7 says that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what you think about anything, it becomes thoughts are things. That's scientific. Thoughts become things. So what you think about yourself, you become. So if you hide the word of God, what he says about you, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm the apple of God's eye. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's given me the power, the ability to get wealth. Hide those things in my heart and I rehearse them and I become them. And I understand who I am as God, and then I don't have to compare myself with anybody else because then I realize I'm pretty awesome just the way I am. The second thing is to demolish the barricades around your heart and allow God to fully love you. God is the only one who will not hurt you. He will not disappoint you. He will not make you, he won't ever make you feel insignificant. Your heart is safe with God. So God created you to be the recipient and expression of the fullness of his love. He created us so that he could pour his love into us. And we can receive it and pour it back into those that we come in contact with. But to do that, to love our neighbor as ourselves, we have to receive the full expression of God's love, replicate it, and then express it. And when we have things in our hearts that don't allow us to receive God's love, like we don't feel worthy of God's love, then we can't obey that command to love one another because we don't have the love of God, the full love of God on the inside of us. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you hear us and you hear us always, Lord God, that we pray like David prayed, search my heart, God, and show me what is inside of me that needs to come out, that is preventing me from loving and receiving your love. We thank you, Lord God, that your love is patient and kind, that your love is not boastful, it's not envious, Lord God, that nothing, absolutely nothing can separate us from your love, that you keep after us, Lord God. I praise you and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. If there's anybody that does not know Jesus at all, and you want to know Jesus, you want to experience his love and his forgiveness, you can repeat this prayer after me. Father, I thank you that you see me, that you've chosen me. I repent of anything and everything that I've done that's not been pleasing to you. Today, I give my life to you, and I ask that you make me a new creation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.